The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to the 8 o'clock section of this 6 to 9 show. Glad that you're out there joining us. Joni has stepped aside. She's on her way home to get some much-needed rest, as she has been for these last 6 weeks. We've been doing these little exposés on our friend of the show, Rocky. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But let me take James real quick. He's been on the phone. James, welcome.
Hello, my friend Bill Hay. I'm
James Gregory.
My home here in Springfield area of Jacksonville, and I love your show, and it's good to hear from you. I remember you quoted earlier in your show today, that 69,000 babies were aborted here in Florida. It's horrible, absolutely horrible, and I'm glad you brought that statistic to light. And I want to say thank God for Mike Williams and JSO and all the law enforcement personnel here in the state of Florida. They're trying to do their best. Sometimes, you know, some people, they don't do their best, and they can, you know, do better. But it's good talking to you, Bill Hay, my friend. And, you know, my blog on YouTube for my network, CNN Gregory News Network, is coming along fine.
Good.
And I seen Ed Dean the other day at a Starbucks off of J.C. Butler and Phillips Highway. Right.
Was he out panhandling in front of Starbucks again? I have told him not to do that.
No, he came up to me at Starbucks at J.C. Butler and Phillips. You know, he surprised me, and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "Ed Dean, what's up?" And I took his picture, put it up on my YouTube site. But, Bill Hay, you know, keep me in your prayers. I'm going through a lot. A lot of people are defaming my character, hating me without a cause. Now, next month, in April, I'm going up to Pennsylvania once again, my home state, Philadelphia area. My mom passed on November 30th last year, and the whole family, I got five sisters and one brother, we're going to put on a ceremony in the springtime next month, in April, for our mom. She made it to 87 years old. She was a believer in God. She passed, like I said, November 30th.
A good long life. And our hearts and prayers go out to you and your family. And I hope you have a wonderful memorial service up there in the springtime. James, thank you for your call tonight. I really appreciate it. James Gregory from the Gregory News Network, a great listener. Been on the show on and off for quite some time, and he's out there running his own thing. You can find him on YouTube. He does a lot of YouTube stuff. So look up the Gregory News Network, a good God-fearing man who's around the streets trying to do good here in the local area, and wishing well on his trip to Pennsylvania. And once again, I'll reiterate this. We'd like to get as many prayers as we can to a member of our radio family here in the Jacksonville area who is in the hospital right now. And just if you'll just include it in your nightly chores there at the edge of the bed, if you are so inclined to do so. Marshall Wood, welcome to the studio. I see you brought a ne'er-do-well with you tonight.
Good evening. Well, he's a Navy pilot, so he's worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
But his wife's really special. She's my accountant, and Kevin and I have been hanging together for quite a while. He's got.
Does that actually take to be your accountant? I mean, just add $2 together and some pocket change.
Well, $1.98 usually is about the best most I've ever filed for in 1 year. So you know how that is.
So, got a wonderful card hand delivered tonight from Rocky. He's not in the studio with us, and I read it, and very heartfelt wishes.
Yeah, that was sincere. That was entirely his doing.
Well,
he and Ann put their heart in that. They appreciate all that you have allowed them to do. He's
well. He's going to be back in here.
You.
Yeah, he's going to be back in here in the studio here in the coming weeks.
Well,
tonight,
this is a natural break point here.
Yeah.
This is we the 3rd of March is the last day of quote the contract that we signed. Okay, so tomorrow begins a new adventure, and when you wish to discuss it, we've got some updates on how the week went and how we're going to proceed forward. But it has been an amazing adventure. There are tremendous differences in this young man today and in Nan than there were 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There have been moments of deep down. We've had some rough spots. There have been some real ups. But the total vector is
on the
positive.
Rise. Yeah.
It's a positive. You take a couple of steps forward, a step or two back. But one of the reasons that we came up, and I hate to use the word 30-day contract. People think that's a big binding thing. It's just, you know, we agree to, he agrees to follow the general guidance.
Anything has to have a set of goals
or
an endpoint.
And this is important that it's counselor-centered assistance, okay? You can't have 1,000 people giving advice. It has to be a single quarterback, just one quarterback on the field. And so he agrees to run by the play that's called for 30 days. And they've done that. But the 30-day period does some important things. At first, it allows us to reveal masked issues. What's really there that you don't see right up front? It also gives us a way to determine whether the person or persons involved really can accept instruction or will accept instruction. And then it allows in that 30-day period the opportunity for a new routine to set in. When people have come off the streets, there's really no routine whatsoever. And so when we're placing people into this environment that you and I are testing here, can you evolve a single-income family, you have to first establish that routine. And that's not natural to folks who are coming off the street. There just is no routine.
Well, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Over the few years I've been doing this show, a couple of times I have gone down in my nasty old jeans and my tore-up shirt and my messed-up baseball cap and had my little cardboard sign folded up in my pocket and parked my car up at one end of town and walked on the street. And I'll tell you, for a man in his 50s who really doesn't take much grief off of anybody, but for a man in his 50s to walk down Jacksonville streets at night to get down to the Greyhound bus station, mm-hmm. or to the landing to hang out with the homeless guys, I kind of did these two nights that I've done where I spent all night as a homeless person. And there is an entire subculture of homeless and chronically homeless,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes slightly mentally deranged people that are on the street. Now, Rocky's not a part of that group, but at one point in time, he and his wife and the little one also
for a brief period of time, were
homeless.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a culture that you and I, until we experience it, that the homeless, for the most part, unless they have some mental afflictions, they're smart. They know when to be here and when to be there and who has free food and who has free lodging and which back alleys to take because the JSO never patrols there. And when you see a JSO car coming, tuck that folded sign away because panhandling is illegal. And don't stand on this street corner because this is a state highway and you can't panhandle on a state highway. You know, all these things they know.
Bill, the average listener, except maybe Marty and a handful of others, don't really understand what happens behind the scenes with folks on the street. And a lot of folks on the street aren't bad people.
No.
In fact, the person who started this whole thing with COJ was a stockbroker we'll talk about him on another time. But he, educated man from a great family. You'd even recognize his dad's name probably if I mentioned it.
But picked himself up from a bad situation.
Well, we picked him up on January 7th, 2008, thanks to Cindy Wood, who said this man needs some help.
And
And it evolved, and Kevin was a witness to that event back in 2008.
Cindy is always good for keeping you in line and picking out the good stuff in your life.
I'm not going to say anything.
I'm still trying to figure out what merit she found in you those so many 40 plus years
ago? I won her in a lottery. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Cindy, feel free to call in and defend yourself. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, Marshall Wood joining me in the studio tonight. Talking a little bit about our current project, which is Rocky, and some other things. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We want you to join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Dave sent me a little text. Bill, do you like the homeless or do you hate them? Sometimes you're ranting and raving and complaining about them, and the next thing you're trying to do is save their lives. Dave, I don't know how to answer that statement. Yeah, I don't like the chronically homeless guys that are working the system. That seems like there could be better things for them to do with their time and with my money. But anyway, let me respond by going to the phones, Dave, and I'll bring up Mike. Tow Truck Mike, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, good evening.
Thanks for calling back. I wanted to hear from you tonight, and you would have been on hold for an eternity.
Well, I don't mind calling back at all. I got things to do sometimes, but it's well worthwhile calling into your show.
So let me ask you real quick. You know, you're out there on the street. You're doing the tow truck thing on a regular basis. You are the kind of one of the first people to roll up on the scene. You see a lot of spurious fatalities that don't come at the hands of a assault style weapon or a semi-automatic weapon, but yet at the hands of a motor vehicle that maybe a guy was distracted, kids playing around in the car, texting, driving while drunk. I mean, do you feel as though an assault weapons ban of some type is warranted here in our country now?
No, it's being overplayed. It's being overplayed. It's just a way to try to get our guns away from us. I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to buy more. I'm very proficient with my weapons to make sure that everybody in my family is proficient. As far as them stopping anybody from 21 from having or buying a gun, that's no problem. I'll do exactly what my dad did. Taught me how to handle one safely, taught me how to go and hunt properly, go to an NRA safe hunters course before I could go hunt, and then he bought me my first weapon. Well, I bought my grandchildren weapons. I'll buy my great-grandchildren weapons. I will make sure they're proficient and very safe with their weapons. So, you know, it's all being blown way out of proportion. You know, tonight I took the time. I just left the side of the road in Green Coast Springs. I was waiting for a motorcade to come in from Jacksonville. They just brought Lieutenant Maza. I can't even pronounce his name properly. Maza Selly. Back in from California. He had the accident with the tail rotor.
Wow.
And his family, I got a chance to salute him and his family as they went by. Another one of our heroes. I can say that the people in Clay County turned out well. I can't answer for Jacksonville. I don't know who was where as the motorcade was coming by, but I'm very proud of Clay County and the support they showed for the family. He donated his organs to other people who might need them so other people could survive. He was a flight surgeon, probably a very safe-oriented person that evidently something went wrong. We'll have to see what the investigation comes out. I don't know. But he was the stepson of a very close friend of me and my wife. So, I mean, things like that, you need to remember that people are out there that get hurt, that don't deserve to get hurt, get killed, who don't deserve to get killed.
You're absolutely correct. It's very fleeting, this thing we call life, and we need to appreciate it a whole lot more and stop and think about things. Thank you for taking the time to honor that gentleman as he made his last trip home and caught the last flight out. Mike, thanks so much for the call tonight, and I appreciate you being out there and being a listener. Tow Truck Mike is always a very welcomed and wonderful addition to the I'm Speaking Plainly family, and I say this as I do every time he makes a call here to the station. When you see tow truck drivers out there on the road, You know, treat them like utility workers, treat them like police and fire officers. Slow down 10 miles an hour or move over. He sent me a video the other day that blew my mind. He took it, I guess, with some kind of a helmet cam or something, standing on the side of the road. The speed at which people were flying by, and professional commercial truck drivers in semis know the risk and the dangers that lie on the side of the road, and they were still flying by him. It was just absolutely amazing that the inconsideration that even professionals in the driving industry had towards him while he was trying to load up.
The highway is not a safe place, but the shoulder of the highway is
even worse.
Particularly dangerous. Yes.
Yeah. So when we went to break, we had opened up the discussion regarding the homeless and the chronically homeless and some of the things that are going on with respect to our work with Rocky. Mm-hmm. He's worked with me several days, and an outstanding young man, easily employable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's had several jobs, since we've been with him.
His past keeps him a little...
Of course.
Keeps him a little out of the job market.
You can't work with a large company,
right,
or even a mid-sized company if you have any kind of a significant record, and no matter
how long
far
that record's
been since
right.
there was any problems. So his answer is really to find a good local employer that says, we don't care about the past, we want to help build your future.
Mm-hmm.
And, last week we were looking at Ricky going full-time with somebody, and so that the audience out there that's wondering, I called an audible with Ricky. I had forgotten that he has some medical issues, and last Tuesday they had a family visit, had a family practitioner that brought all three in and did some medical review for them, and they have set another medical test for Rocky later on in March, and we'll probably have a couple others coming. So to go to work right now full time with somebody with all the administrative matters that face him, I got the cart before the horse. So we thanked Jim for his offer, and we've had to back off and go with this plan. And I think you and I discussed this last week while Rocky was working for you. We're going to try to get him about three good opportunity jobs each week that gives him flexibility so that we can work on getting the driver license, because that's a biggie. We've got to get that for either he or for Nan as soon as possible. We have a few other administrative items that need to be taken care of. They're going to get a particular type of counseling that's going to be very good for them. They just were told last night they're going to get about, I think, 6 months of paid counseling in a certain area. It was either 6 weeks or 6 months. I can't remember, but it was a blessing. It was a great thing.
Anything's a help.
Sure. But these things take place during the day, and so to be employed full-time of the day, you can't do both at the same time. So we said, okay, since their housing and rent is covered for a good period of time, they're stable, it's more important that we get the foundation laid, which means driver license and all documentation squared away and all the professional folks coming in giving assistance. And then we can actually move on to doing the project that we want to do, which is just test. Can a single income family survive in America today and survive reasonably well? But it's going to be delayed a while. So I think in council with a number of people, we've said, okay, today being the 3rd of March, last day of the 30-day contract, let's now, knowing what we know in this 30-day period, we found out things we didn't know in the beginning. We're going to just go back to the beginning. We're going to start that 30-day process all over again, then move into the 60-day program that's waiting. It's a pretty ambitious program, and they've got to be fully prepared to participate. Right now, I just don't think with all the other things yet.
A lot of distractions.
Of course, yeah, there are plenty of distractions.
Let me jump in and ask
you
something.
It's your show.
Well,
sorry.
No, it's all right. Some of the email comments that I had gotten 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, last week.
Yeah.
And in fact, the very first night we discussed moving forward with this program, one of the top emails I had gotten in one of the first 5 or 10, maybe the number escapes me, was that you had come off when you were speaking,
right,
that anyone that wanted to be turned around in their life from something that was really, really bad, and wanted to better their future, also had to be
faith-based.
Yeah, had to be biblically, had to be a biblical scholar, sure, for the lack of a better word. And I got a lot of pushback that folks are out there saying,
yeah,
you know, saying, you know, it doesn't take the Bible to be a successful human being.
Well, correct. I'd love to address that if it's okay.
Sure.
The methodology. First of all, my background is I'm a Christian and I know that works. Okay. So when people come to me that have difficulties, but they have a Christian background, I'm naturally inclined, because we speak the same language, to help them. That doesn't mean that you have to be a Christian, maybe to get out of trouble, but it helps. Okay. And so that is my frame of reference. That's what I choose to address. I don't mean to ignore other people, but those who come to me because of my presence in the Christian community tend to seek out a believer to ask for help. So that's where my expertise is. It's in a believer helping a believer. But the idea of Scripture being important is just what you have to do is give an individual something that they know that they know. And so if they are predisposed naturally to want to know the Word of God, you can give them a good background quickly in essential things the average Baptist deacon knows nothing about, and then begin to expand their mind. You create a desire to learn by using something that they like. So I use the Bible for that. I've had Rocky memorizing the morphology of the Bible. It's not magic. It's not mojo stuff. It's just it helps a person expand their mind to exercise the way they learn using material that they like and they're familiar with. We could do it with something else.
Mm. All right. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. We're bringing you an update on our little, I want to say, social experiment.
Well,
and that is with Rocky and his family. With their permission, of course. And we'll have him back on here on the show in the next few weeks and talk a little bit more about what's been going on in his life. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. More with Marshall Wood and the Chronically Homeless when we return.
OB. Hey. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jackson. Well, welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I want to call attention to something that we got while we were in the break, and that is from Marcy, as I said. She's obviously a regular listener because she was the same young lady that commented about needing to be a biblical scholar in order to be able to be rescued from mm-hmm. homelessness. And, you know, I can understand on the outside listening to the program and looking at it from a point of view of someone that is maybe not living on the street, someone that is currently employed, someone who can go to Publix and buy the groceries that they need. It might be difficult to understand that there's a framework of structure that's necessary to kind of rebuild someone who has
issues.
You know, issues.
Yeah.
And just like in the military, when you go to basic training, when you go to boot camp, the idea is to break that person down and rebuild them as an American fighting machine.
Under the ethic of the military system, the code of military conduct.
Right.
That is, in essence, a form of the law of God, if you will. I'm not saying they're the same thing, but everybody has to have a code that you live by. And those who are predisposed to live by the Christian faith or try to or want to, it just seems like they have a natural inclination to do the things that others who are focused on themselves and maybe a little bit rebellious don't want to do.
If you look at the City Rescue Mission and if you look at the Salvation Army,
mm-hmm.
two great organizations
support
with respect
both of them,
to
yes.
rescuing people that have been turned out onto the street, many, many times those organizations require you to get your life together with God before you can seek assistance.
Well, at least
them.
They offer them the offer opportunity them.
Yes.
to do that. Many walk away because of what they feel is too much of an overt religiosity or something. But the fact is, faith is the foundation of everything. But what I want to, if Kevin, is that mic working? I was hoping that you would just kind of follow up the point that you made. You said it better than I did. That, you know, so many folks on the street actually have a bit of a faith inclination. Go ahead and tell the folks what you just told me a minute ago.
Well, not necessarily on the street. What I was referring to is that faith, that component of faith in somebody's character, personality. Okay, that within them, that has a tendency to push back against tendencies to do wrong things.
Okay,
that's the issue.
Yeah, it is a motivator,
right? Whether it's homeless,
it may not be present with somebody else. And from you have a Catholic background, mine is a Protestant background, but we have that real common understanding there: the importance, practicality of faith. And that's what one of the things that I teach the young folks that come under my tutelage is an acrostic called FATHER, the foundation of faith. Without that, it's going to be very difficult to proceed. Or you may, I'm sure other people using a different format would say some other ethical foundation, whatever that may be. In my case, it is the Christian Judeo-Christian ethic. That is the foundation. And then the second step is the acceptance of where you are right now. It's where God wants to take you to the next level. You know, so many folks on the street are so ashamed of their circumstance that they talk about all these high and lofty goals they have. They want to be an astronaut. They want to do this. No, where you are right now is where you're going to begin your journey to get out of the mess that you're in. And then the next one is T, for the acrostic FATHER. That's being a truth seeker. Truth seeker, first of all, just being truthful about who you are. And then finding that document, in my case, it's the Bible, but there's other materials that you use to decide the difference between truth and error. So many people go by, well, this is what I feel. That's the way they do things. It doesn't work at all. You can't be a pilot. Bill will tell you right now, you can't say, well, I feel like I can land the airplane today. Not if it's 0-0 or, you know, a quarter mile visibility and a 40-knot crosswind. I don't care what you feel. You can't do it.
That's right.
Okay, so... And then there is the fourth one is the H, which is humility. So many people get all puffed up and want to project an image that is kind of fake. You know, you're in a mess, guy. Don't tell me you're all that. It takes some humility. And then once you get humility, there's a tendency toward empathy. You're able to treat people kindly because you understand, well, you've been where they've been, perhaps. And then finally become a resolute responder. That's the person who is mature that says, I see a need. I'm going to respond, and I'm going to help. And that's the acrostic FATHER that we move towards as we do this thing. But, you know, I don't wish to offend anybody in the audience by saying, well, it's only, you know, Christian that you can get out of this mess that you're in, because I've had a number of failures of folks that are, you know, pretty openly professing Christians, and there's certainly some that I can think of what right now that I'm working with that is a Buddhist. But... You know, he's coming along, but he's still responding to the Christian doctrines that we're teaching him.
Well, what about the idea that we could, and this was just raved, we're getting into a Facebook war now back and forth with Marcy, but what about the idea that someone can be given a structure that is a good work ethic, get up, brush your teeth, you know, put on good clothes, wash your face and hands, and be prompt and courteous and be on time for work, and none of that has to do with any biblical teaching. And I don't want to turn the show into one of these back and forth religious batting things, because
I understand.
The thing that I am amazed by in today's day and age, regardless of what affiliation that you place yourself, whether it's Baptist church, Catholic church, Jewish synagogue, Buddhist temple, the fact that we have so many people in our society today, probably close to 75% of the people that are out there living and walking around on the street say, you know, this is an organic life. We are an animal that's born from a seed in the womb. We are born like a puppy. we learn, we live, we die, we become fertilizer for the next, which is hard to do now because in the United States we've mandated that unless you're cremated, you must be buried in a concrete vault in case they have to exhume your body later to find out whether or not your ex-wife poisoned you 13, 14, 15 years down the road. But that's a different topic for another subject. But the idea is that we're a very organic life and that you know, we evolved from apes, and it can be shown that birds are evolving on certain islands because there's a particular food source there that lives in a very small hole.
It's called natural selection.
So their beaks are getting longer. Yeah.
A little difference there.
You're well,
crossing some disciplines.
I can understand how someone sitting out there listening to the show might be inclined to believe, are these guys really trying to help a person get reestablished in life after a prison term or get reestablished in life after a failed marriage or a bad job or something like that? Or are they trying to get him to join their cult, the cult of Christianity?
And I got accused of that yesterday by some outside sources. Well, this is just a cult guy, see? People don't understand what motivates those who want to reach out and help others. But the reality is, and Kevin is sitting here as a good example. He witnessed the beginning of this whole thing that I'm doing and assisted me when we helped our very first project.
So it's your fault?
It's his fault. Well, it's actually Cindy's fault.
I'm not blaming Cindy for anything.
Actually, okay.
Cindy gets a pass because she's been married to you for so long.
Okay, now what we've done is completely made me forget everything I'm talking about.
It happens when you reach that 80 mark. It happens. So.
Well, I passed that mark a long time ago, didn't I? About 106 going on 110.
Anyway, you were trying to talk about my response from the folks that are saying that, you know, we're living in a society now where everything becomes a cult.
And the problem is folks just don't understand the natural compassion that people had decades ago. America is a naturally compassionate people because of Judeo-Christian ethic. People from the Roman Catholic background, like my friend Kevin here, and those from the non-Catholic background like mine, still share the same basic ethic. And again, I'm not going to get into preaching here, but there are four basic fundamentals that we'll talk about some other time that really define the Christian faith that are common to both Catholicism and the non-Catholic Christian traditions. But when we practice them, people wonder what we're up to.
Well, let me give you an example that has nothing to do with faith, but it drew the attention of a couple of folks that I was with today. I went to a movie with a very good friend of mine. He and I went to high school together. He had a young lady that has been in his life on and off for 23 years. I say they're the most married, non-married couple I've ever met. But in the course of going to this movie, the three of us went. And, of course, there was a seat that was taken next to me by a lady who was an older lady in a cast. And I said, do you come to the movie by yourself? No, my husband is down here. But we couldn't get tickets together because the theater was sold out. So just before the movie started, I got up, went down, met her husband, and I said, take my ticket. Here's your ticket. Go watch the movie with your wife. After we got through, first thing Sharon said was, why did you do that?
Yeah.
I did that because that's how I was taught to be. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Marshall and I will be back in just a couple of minutes. We hope you'll join us then.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're finishing up this week's edition with an update and kind of a draw on the grand experiment. And I'll tell you what, we had a little comment from Rice. He's out there listening, and Rice is getting all philosophical on us. He says, we're all in a cult. It's called our culture.
That's true.
And it is true.
Yeah, he's saying we all have a different culture.
We do.
In a sense, we do.
It
could be down to the family culture, right?
It could be. And unfortunately, increasingly more and more, we're getting into the culture of self-indulgence and self-importance.
If I may, can we talk quickly just about the future? You know, the next 90 days, what's going to happen at the end of a 90-day period? Okay to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay, sure. We're going to redo this 30-day period because now everything's on the table. We know what we're dealing with. So we're going to go through the 30-day quote-unquote contract in a 60-day period, which is going to take us to mid-June. Then what I want to do, Bill, is what you and I did back in June of 2014, where you hosted the first Everyday Joe Heaven and Earth Symposium. Remember that? In fact, invite the listeners to go to Crossover Jacksonville, and they can see Bill in all his glory in a really good four-day symposium that we did. But this is going to be, I hope, over the top. I hope we can do it here at the Salem Center. And if this goes well, then the first thing we'll do, once everybody's seated and the lights go down, we're going to have Rocky and Nan and the Peanut walk out and let everybody meet them. And Rocky will be able to tell people, Nan will be able to tell people what they think of the program and how it worked. And then we're going to have a little incentive for them. I think we're going to give them a little something to reward them for their faithfulness in the program. And that's kind of the big picture of what we hope to do. But again, the next 30 days now that we have everything on the table, we're going to move forward and get to the point where we can say, okay, we're beginning the experiment now. But in looking back over the last 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks we've been doing this thing, a couple things have stood out. And first is, and I had forgotten about this, it's just the curse of smoking. That is such a debilitating circumstance. And Rocky has been held back because every time it's time to do something, well, it's time to take a little break to take care of the nicotine habit. And he's not nearly as bad a smoker as others, but it's chronically affected his health. He has certain issues that have to be treated because of the smoke. But he now has nicotine patches, so we're hoping that he's going to get rid of this curse. Because, I mean, I just didn't pay that much attention to it over time. But in hanging around this circumstance, I realized just what a waste of money, what a waste of time.
Right.
And I look at these other people on the street now that I haven't seen before that are smoking.
Well, you know, I in the tree business world, my guys always get a little miffed at me because I say, you know, here's my motto. You don't eat, drink, or pee when you work for me.
Yeah.
And they're talking about smoking. And I say, you know, you can smoke on your break. You can smoke on your lunch. You can smoke when you get home. You can smoke before work. Well, I can smoke and drag brush at the same time. Well, no, not necessarily, because when you're smoking, one of your hands is not making me any money.
That's right.
You know, it's not a lung disease thing. It's not a, you know, ruining the environment thing. For me, it's while you're doing it, one of your hands is not making
any money. It's just not
efficient.
It's simple.
Right.
It's not efficient, and it's killing you. I mean, this is a gift that Rocky has given me. I've now become one of those guys that nobody likes. You know, you better not smoke kind of a deal. Another thing that stood out in the last 4 or 5 weeks that I've been with Rocky is the imperative of professional behavior at all times. I'm trying to get that into his head. You, quite frankly, dress for success. And sometimes maybe it's necessary just to overdress a little bit when you're in that circumstance that you're in. You want a neat haircut. You want your nails, you know, trimmed and looking clean. You want to be physically clean. You want to smell nice. You want your clothes to fit. And you want to have a bearing that looks like, okay, I'm ready to go to work any minute now. You know, that look in your eye. You meet people. You look in the eye. You shake hands, affirm handshake. Now, that's not a problem for Ricky. He'll crush your hand if you shake it too much. But Rocky's a good guy. But there are things that I've learned from him. Again, the smoking problem, trying to get into him the imperative of professional behavior at all times, then seeing yourself through other people's eyes. It's not how you want people to see you. Hey, I'm a cool dude. That's nonsense. It's how people, especially prospective employers, see you. So even when nobody is around, you want to assume there is somebody around. Watch your language.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your posture. Watch what you're doing. Look busy. Look eager. And be neatly dressed. And then another thing is identifying opportunity. A lot of people don't realize. Go ahead. Yeah,
I got to ask you, how many hours in the course of a day do you spend writing these things?
Well,
if the folks at home could see the pile of paperwork that you structure just to bring in and do my show, it's amazing.
Well, these are just excerpts from things I've been writing for years and doing. This is what I teach people. This is what we do. This is just out of our lexicon, if you will.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Let me add something to what you were saying about dress the part, look the part, be ready to perform the part.
Yeah.
When I left you, we had lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
When I left you, we went
at a health food store, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Same place I'm going tonight for a long chili dog. Sonic. Anyway, when I left you, I had to go to McDonald's to return a Redbox disc. While I was getting out and returning the disc, there was two crew members from McDonald's standing there. They were on break, and they were talking about how difficult it was working there at that McDonald's because they were understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
Crew wasn't showing up. And I overheard their conversation while I was putting the disc back in the box. And I mentioned to them, I said, you know, I was a manager for McDonald's back in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that there's life after McDonald's. The McDonald's job that you have today is not the job that you're trying to buy a house off of or make a career out of or support a family off of. What it's doing, it's giving you the structure necessary to show up to work on time, to perform a task that you were taught previously without having to be retaught.
It's a training laboratory, for crying out loud.
And I also added to them this, and it's something my father taught me all my life. Don't quit the job you have.
That's right.
Till you find another one.
Yes, sir.
It's easier to find a job when you've got one. There's something about the look of desperation in your eye, how you carry yourself, how you act, that when you have a job, that's not there. That level of desperation or whatever it is, pheromones, the way your pits smell that day, something happens that when you've got a job, you walk in and you say, I'd really like to work for you. You have a much better chance of getting hired than somebody that doesn't have a job, that threw a temper tantrum, walked out the door and said, you know, I'm not taking this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll see you. And then they immediately start the very next day throwing resumes out at everybody they can throw
forgetting them at. That people, they have to see themselves through the eyes of other people. And that mm-hmm. temper tantrum, that nonsense that most people do, that get themselves in trouble, makes that first question uncomfortable. Why are you not employed right now?
Right.
If you can go, well, I am, sir, and I have this logical transition from the wonderful job I had before to this job, which I perceive to be a stepping stone to where I want to go. That's a nice thing.
Why do you want to leave the job you have now? Well, I don't like my manager. I don't like the hours I'm working. Boom, that's not what
you want
to say.
It conforms to my career goal.
Right. Yeah, that will. AJ, why do you want to leave this job? Well, I don't like the host that I have to
All
deal
I
with
have
on
to
Saturday
say is-
night.
I've been in radio a long time.
All right, well, we're coming to the end of this edition, so I know that you didn't get to a lot of things you wanted to say. I'll invite you back again next week to fill this 8 o'clock hour.
I think we're going to hear a little bit from Ricky next week, aren't we, on a...
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see how it goes. Right. That being said, a lot going on this last week, some great milestones made, some more stuff coming in the future. But this has been kind of a sponge for people to grab onto.
Yeah.
I'm already plus 20. 20 is the most comments that'll let you show that you're behind on Facebook. But we were managing the comments through the 6 and 7 o'clock hour, and then when we got to the 8 o'clock hour and you showed up, that's when all the hatred and the vitriol comes out.
Well,
so I'll
get
a chance
happens.
To...
I attract that naturally. You already hear what Kevin calls me.
Yeah. I'll get a chance to see that.
Or his wife, especially when I'm late with my tax.
All right. I'll get a chance to see that in the coming weeks and in the coming days when the emails start flowing in. But it's a good thing. And the Heaven and Earth Symposium is another good thing. I don't think it was as outreaching last time as it could have been.
That was a trial balloon.
Yeah.
For what we're going to do. We're going to blow it out of the water with this one. The first two are going to be the secular side that you're going to pretty much host and do what you did the last time. The last two nights will be a seminar that I'm going to offer that will deal with many of the things we've talked about here. But we're going to front load it with the political issues and the social issues.
Okay. There you go. Well, we'll have more on that in the coming days, so stay tuned to all of that information. We'll get you another Gripe Night. I know you guys are looking for Gripe Night. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to say goodnight for this particular edition, and join us back again here next week, starting at 6 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. If you're driving home tonight, please be safe. Everybody wants you to get home and arrive alive.